Come on, look at this. Jonah 1. All right, you've got a prophet here with a problem. He's a prophet with a problem. And he's a prophet that was given an assignment. The assignment's the problem. And he chooses to run away from the problem, right? So you come to a place to realize, all right, who's Jonah, right? When you begin to break down Old Testament prophets, prophets were men who were called by God to give particular messages as if God were speaking. This is a huge deal. Jonah was a big deal. Jonah was a prophet. God used Jonah in 2 Kings. God used Jonah in the past. Jonah, I need you to say this. Jonah goes and says this. Listen, I need you. This is your assignment, Jonah. I need you to go and say this. And Jonah would say, okay. And Jonah would go and say that. It was such a big deal. It was such a huge call that if you added anything to the message that God gave you, you would be stoned. You can't add to it. You can't change it. You can't say God said this when he didn't say that, or you'd be stoned. It's a big deal to speak on behalf of God. So what happens when God gives Jonah a message that says you need to deliver this message, and Jonah says, nope. Hold on, I don't know if you heard me. Like, you need to go here and give this message. I'm out. We see this in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Mittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Jonah, hey, I need your attention. I've got an assignment for you. I need you to go to Nineveh, the great city. And I need you to deliver a message. I need you to arise and go to Nineveh. And as soon as he says Nineveh, Jonah's like, no way. Because when you understand Nineveh, you understand Nineveh to be Israel's just gross enemy. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrians, and the Assyrians were enemies to Israel, and Israel hated the Assyrians. The Assyrians were barbaric people. They were violent, dangerous, barbaric, angry, mean, full of hatred, where honestly, if you come into a place where they didn't want you, they would literally carve you up, come to a place to take body parts off, hang you on a stick, and say, this is what happens to people we don't like. They were ruthless. They were barbaric. They would go into families. These are the Syrians. These are the people that God said, listen, Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh. Jonah's like, I hate these people. They're barbaric, angry, violent people. Lord, you should judge those people. You should firebomb those people. I know how you firebomb we are enemies. We hate these people. I'm not going to Nineveh, to the Assyrian people who I hate. They're ruthless, they're barbaric, they're violent. And some would say, well, maybe he was just nervous for his life. You know, we don't read that in Scripture. We don't see that Jonah was afraid. As ruthless and barbaric and violent as they were, as much as an enemy, it wasn't that. We see in chapter 4, watch this. We see a different level of hate here from Jonah. We see in chapter 4 where the message was, you need to go to Nineveh and tell them to repent or my judgment's coming. And Jonah's like, we see in chapter 4, Jonah's like, listen, I know that if I go and if they choose to repent, you will show your grace and your compassion on these people. Whoa, hold on. So let me get this straight. Jonah, you don't want to go because they may actually make a decision to follow God. Yes. So let's put it in our place. So if you have somebody that you don't like, that you would consider, man, this person has violated me, my house, this person is just, I hate this. I don't like this person. I hate this person. I would consider them my daily enemy. Like, I'm not a fan. And the Lord says, well, you need to go witness to them. Lord, I'd rather them be in hell. You mean if your enemy comes to you and says, listen, Sean, I know that we're enemies and I know that I have violated you and you hate me, but listen, there's this drawing and I need you to really communicate with me. Man, I'm on my last day here. I have 40 days to live. And I've seen something different in you. And I'm asking if you would just tell me about Jesus. No, I'm asking you, Sean, I need Jesus. And I know that I've done wrong. And I know I need to repent. Would you please lead me to the cross? No, I want you to go to hell. Church, that's where Jonah is. And he's a prophet of God. He's a big deal. So when you begin to break down this story and know that this is a very true story of a man who God used to be his spokesperson and God gave him a message to give, and he's like, absolutely not. Because I know you, and I know that your grace and your compassion will show up, and I know these people that I hate will come to walk in relationship with you. I'd rather not. When you come to this place to see the reality of this story, that Jonah is just, he's just a dot. Church, how is this that Jonah is just a dot on this planet that God created of amongst billions and billions and billions of dots that are on the earth from creation of time? And we have a God who knows all things. He knows every dot, and you got the dot saying no to the Creator. Are you kidding me? But how many times, watch this, here we go. How many times has God given you a dot, an assignment? And you've said, I don't think so. Because we see this amazing story about Jonah, and we see this amazing story. Watch this. We talked about a love that we just don't understand. We sung about it today. It doesn't make sense. And when you come to a place to see God in his heart towards Nineveh, his heart towards the Assyrians, we see a God who knows their wrong. He knows their violence. He knows their, he says, their wickedness have come before me. I know how evil they are. I know how wicked they are. But you know what? I love them. And you know what? I want to reach them. And Jonah, you're my man. God, I don't get it. You don't need to. I don't understand why you love these people. You don't have to. Church, what happens when we know from the story of Jonah, it's a short book, four chapters, and it just screams about a God and his grace and his love for his creation that has blown it so desperately and so wrong and so violent and so wicked. We just don't get it, how God could love them, but we somehow understand that he loves me. See, this is just truth. The benefits you and I to know, even in my stupid and even in my wrong and even in my sin and even in my own wickedness, you are a God of grace who has pursued me. And I don't need to understand it. But we see this where God says, okay, Jonah, it's time to go to Nineveh. You're my chosen man for this assignment. He had other prophets at the time, but he chose Noah. He says, you're chosen man for the assignment. I need you to go to Nineveh. And watch this, verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa and found a ship that was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Here, this is one of those crazy stories that you're just like, ha, there's so much that happens in four chapters. Like, it's like, wow, this shows how amazing, how great, and how powerful God's love and grace is. It shows that God is sovereign, and he is all-powerful, and he is in control of everything. God's in control. He knows exactly where every dot that he created is at all times. He knows the exact assignment that he's given you. And here you've got Jonah, who knows God, who does walk in the fear of the Lord, who understands that he's God's spokesman. He goes down and says, I am not going that way. I'm going this way. Goes down to the port to go to Joppa to get on a boat to say, listen, I'm going as far away as possible from the presence of the Lord. You know, you can get into Psalm 139 and say, where can I go from your presence? If I go to hell, you're there. If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to the earth, you're there. If I go to the seas, you're there. I can't go anywhere. And I don't know if that's this, because he knew the Lord. But I think he was trying to get as far away from his assignment. You see, when you're at Joppa, if you go over to Nineveh, it's just over 500 miles by land. But if you, he's like, no, I'm not doing the short track, man. I'm going to Tarshish, which is by boat, and it's 2,500 miles by sea. So he's like, no, I'm going as far away from my assignment as I can possibly get. I'm done with this. I'm out. And he gets on a boat and he begins to sail to the farthest point that he can. And then watch this. Church, sometimes we think that we can get away with it. Sometimes we think that maybe God didn't hear my no. Sean, I need you to do this. No. No, Sean, I need you to do this. Because I think sometimes we think that God, he doesn't care if I say no. But I love the story of Jonah because verse 4 is crazy. It's crazy. Jonah gets in a boat and he said, I'm out of here, man. I'm gone. I'm done with this assignment. I'm done being a prophet. I'm done being a spokesperson. I'm out. This is not you have put me in a place that I don't want to be. God, creator, all powerful, all knowing, I'm a dot. And you know what? Who are you to put me in a place that I don't want to be? I'm out. He gets on a boat and he begins to sail. He falls asleep in the bottom of the ship. And then all of a sudden, watch this. Verse 4, then the Lord hurled. I love this. The Lord hurled. Did he breathe? Did he blow his nose? Did he throw something? The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea. And there was a great storm on the sea that the ship was about to break up. Are you kidding me? You mean to tell me that God knows exactly where Jonah is and that Jonah's beginning to run away from his assignment? That God, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, God, who can do anything he wants to do, controls the wind and the sea, that he's just like, not so fast. Bam! And this supernatural hurricane took place where the sailors, you got to understand something, the guys in the boat were a bunch of sailors. They knew this is not a normal storm. I need everybody in the boat to call out to their God and see who screwed up. Because a God caused this storm, this isn't natural. Listen, even the sailors knew something's up. This is not the normal storm. This is a supernatural storm. And here at this point, they didn't believe in the one true living God, but they believed in many gods. And they said, listen, someone on the boat screwed up and their God's after them. Who is it? Even they knew it was a supernatural storm. And then they come to this thing, draw straws, comes down to Jonah. Jonah's like, it's me. Well, who are you? I'm a Hebrew. I have a fear of the Lord and I'm running from the presence of the Lord. I did this. So what do these sailors do? They're like, come on, let's row a little harder. And you could imagine that they're just sweating and they're going crazy and they're rowing and they're rowing and they're rowing and they're rowing. And verse 11 says, God's like, really, guys? And the storm got worse. This storm that's already breaking up the boat, they already realize it's a supernatural storm. Now it's been identified to the one true living God. And they're like, we're going to outrow this thing. And God's like, nah, no, you're not. And it gets actually worse. And they're like, what is happening? And then the Bible says the third time in verse 13 that it actually even got worse. So God started the storm. He made the storm get worse. And then the third time he makes it get worse. And they're like, what do we do? And Jonah's like, just, you're going to have to toss me overboard. I'm done. Church, it's crazy that even in all of this, like he knows God caused this storm. He knows. This is what's so crazy. He knows that he serves a God who can cause the wind to stop a boat. He knows he's not going to out paddle it, that God increased the storm. I don't know, but wouldn't that be enough for you to say, I get it. I'm sorry. No, his response is, I'm still done. and I'm still rebelling, and I'm still stubborn, and I'd rather die. What? Well, I thought you said that this was one of God's, he's on God's team. Well, hold on, Jonah's a prophet, right? He's got chosen to be God's spokesman, that he's on God's team. And yet he's still rebelling and he still says, no, I'd rather die. Throw me overboard. And Jonah has no idea that there's this enormous sea monster. The New Testament is Jesus. We know this is a true story because Jesus confirms this true story in Matthew 12, verse 40, that a sea monster swallowed Jonah whole. And Jonah was in the belly of that sea monster for 3 days and three nights. We know that this is a true story. Watch this, man. Jonah thinks he's going overboard because he's ready to end it. I'm done. He's chased me with a storm. I'm going to show him. I'm just going to kill myself, man. I'm just going to dump over. I'm done. And God's like, not really. I got a surprise for you, bro. Because they didn't know that there was this enormous, humongous sea monster following the ship, just waiting for this dot to fall into the Mediterranean Sea. So you've got the guys, one, two, huh! And he hits the water. And this waves and the storm and the wind that is just so chaotic and a supernatural storm, it just goes silent. I could imagine where maybe one of the sailors, when it goes silent, maybe it gets clear in the sea and he sees this humongous shadow that's under the boat. Oh! Whoa! What? I've never seen, what is this? And all of a sudden, here Jonah, he thinks he's ending it, and God's like, not really. And then all of a sudden, this huge fish swallows Jonah whole. Jonah's going, are you serious right now? Can I please just be done? No. The Bible says he sits in this fish for 3 days. This is crazy. So wait a minute. God's over the storm. God knows exactly where the dot is. And you're telling me that God you mean to tell me that even when Jonah gave up, God didn't? You're telling me even at the end of the day, in his rebellious, stubborn attitude, and he says, I'm done. This is the story of Jonah to say, when we say we're done, God says, well, I'm not. And I will do anything possible to get your attention. So much so. Verse 17, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. What? And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. You mean that God pursued Jonah so much that Jonah could have just jumped over the edge and been done, and God says, not really, I have a whole different plan. You could have done it my way, and it had been a lot easier. You didn't have to go the 2,500 miles. You could have just done the 500 miles and done what I asked you to do and fulfill your assignment, because if you don't, it's not the easy road. Church, there might be a point in our lives that we're not on the easy road because you're running away from God. And we're not here to blame Satan. He didn't blame the sailors. We're not here to blame people. We're not here to blame our past. I think so many times in our lives, our bad circumstance has to do with us running from God. But But the great news is just even in our running, God is persistent. God is persistent. So God, even when I give up, you're telling me that you won't? No, because even when you are faithless, I remain faithful. What? So much so that if I have to, I will create a great sea monster. And I will appoint him to follow that boat. When that dot hits the ocean, he's going to swallow him whole. Now listen, don't kill him. I'd love it if you could eat some really nasty dead fish and have it in your stomach beforehand. That'd be cool. Could you imagine being in the, like a true story, could you imagine for 3 days and three nights being in the belly of a fish with all of the nasty and with all of the stench and with all of the gross and with, God, I hate this. Good. Because it was in that chapter 2 is all about his repentance and all about crying back out to the Lord. And amazing, because we see at the end of chapter 2, it says this, and then the verse 10, and then the Lord commanded the fish. Church, do we really have an idea of how great our God is? When you read this story, we see he's causing the storm, and we see he makes it bigger. He makes it bigger. He knows exactly where the dot is. He knows exactly what's going to take place. He appoints a fish to swallow him whole, and then he commands the fish to spit him out. Do we? Same God for me and you. I take reference that this is my adopted father, man. I belong to him. I've been adopted by God. This is my God. This is how great he is. He is sovereign, and he is in control, and he can do all things. He can do whatever he pleases. Psalm 135 screams this. I want you to see this, because when you begin to realize God will do whatever it takes to get my attention. God will do whatever it takes to get my attention. My God can do anything. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does. You know what that means? He does whatever he pleases, and you don't have much to say on it. He will do whatever he wants to do in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all the depths. He causes the vapors, that's the clouds, to ascend from the ends of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain, who brings forth the wind from his treasuries. God is in control, and he knows exactly where you're at as a dot on his creation. And then he commands the fish to vomit. All right, it's time. Put him on the shore. And it's amazing that when you look at the map, you've got Joppa here, and it's right on the seaport. It's right on the edge, which Tarshish is all sea, and Nineveh is all land. Isn't it amazing that scholars believe that the place to drop Jonah is right back to where Jonah started? We're going back to the place where I gave you the assignment. Because this is such an incredible word. In chapter 3, verse 1. Here you've got Jonah. He's done his repentance this time, and he realized, man, I'm gonna go through with this. And he drops him on dry ground right back to that original place of assignment. And the word of the Lord, verse 1, I love this. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. You mean when I'm ready to give up? God says, I'm not. Even in my rebellion. Even when you say, I'm done, God says, oh, I'm not done with you yet. No. I've given you an assignment. And whatever it takes, you're going to fulfill that assignment. Even when you're running, I'm coming. I'll come at you in ways you never expected. I'll put you in circumstances that you don't like. Why? because I love you. But why? Because I've given you an assignment. Why me? Why me? Because I have something for you to do. It is amazing that he could have picked a different prophet. But knowing everything that would unfold, he picked Jonah still. Church, what happens? Watch this. What happens when you begin to buy into the truth that God knows your every mistake and yet he still picked you? And that he caused Jonah to face it. Jonah says, nope. I'm done. God says, well, I'm not. Church, what happens in this moment that you come to a place to know God has given me an assignment and I've run? Or maybe, watch this, maybe God has called you to himself and you've run. Maybe you can define yourself as one who, man, I have run away from God. I know that relationship. Jonah knew who God was. Jonah walked in a great fear of God. Maybe you're one who says, yeah, I knew. I know God. I know that I'm saved, but I'm running, man. I'm running. What happens? What happens today if you come to a place right now to say, I'm done running. I don't like my circumstance. I don't like where I'm at. I tried to blame Satan, but it's not him. I tried to blame people. It's not them. I know. Listen, Jonah knew. He knew it was on him. He didn't blame anybody else. What happens when you come to a place? Please hear this, church. I'm calling you to a place to face it. And to know sometimes the Lord is going to put me in places that I don't like. But I know that I can't run from it. And even if I'm ready to give up, the Lord will do everything in his power to say, well, I'm not ready to give up. Come on, if you just bow your heads just for a moment, please. Katie's going to sing. And thank you for being here today. But I want this to be a moment this morning, a very real moment, that you would just honestly be real. Say, God, I've been just running from you. And today it stops. Today I turn. You've been so good to me. You have pursued me. And I know that you've pursued me. I know that you even caused storms in my life to get my attention. But I just felt like I could jump overboard and be done. But yet, here I am. Because you love me. And you have an assignment for me. I'm going to fulfill that assignment. Where are you in this? That you know there's things that you need to face. Uncomfortable. Storms in your life are your fault because you've disobeyed. That's just reality, man. That's truth. You've come to a place, say, today it changes. Today I see God as one who is so good that even when I wanted to quit, he wouldn't. He pursued me. That's what I want, man. I just want you to stay seated today as Katie sings. And I want you to come to a place today. Say, God, it's time to stop running. I'm just a little dot, but you have put circumstances in my way that I know that you, who am I that you actually are paying attention to me? Even in my failures and even in my running, you still pay attention to me, so much so that you've caused obstacles that are uncomfortable. And I'm ready to face it. I'm done running. Come on.